Welcome back, everybody. Today is Monday of Holy Week, and I just can't believe it. It's here.
And we thank you for journeying with us to this last leg of the Lenten journey up to Easter. Today, we're going to start with a quote, and it's a really hard-hitting quote that speaks about the importance of detachment and why detachment is necessary to grow in the spiritual life.
If we do not purify and strip the heart of everything earthly, the love of God cannot enter in and possess it all. Detach thy heart from all created things, says St. Teresa, and seek God, and thou shalt find him. In order to attain to loving God with all our heart, we must separate it from everything that is not God, that does not tend towards God. He chooses to be alone in the possession of our hearts. He admits no companions there, and with reason, because he is our only Lord who has given us everything.
So this can appear as though it's kind of harsh. Like, do we really have to detach our hearts from absolutely everything? So let's just visit that, because it seems like a little bit maybe over the top. Well, scripture says, first of all, nothing unclean can enter the kingdom of God. So we can't enter heaven if our hearts are attached to this earth. Secondly, Jesus is the one that says, you shall love thy Lord, thy God with thy whole heart. He didn't say you shall love thy Lord, thy God with part of thy heart, or 20% of thy heart, or 10% of thy heart. No, he wants the whole heart. Now, why? Well, I think one thing is we can remember that this is how he loves us. When Jesus is on the cross, this is his whole heart for you. In fact, when Jesus is dying on the cross, he's dying for you, as though you are the only person in the entire world. And the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross would have still happened had you been the only person in the entire world. So Jesus' whole heart is yours. And his hope is that we come back and love him with our whole heart. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, the whole heart. Now, one of the images that the church gives us, analogies, is the bride, the marriage analogy, where you have Jesus is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. So if we take this image and place it in our context, is my heart free to entertain romantic ideas and feelings and relationships for other women? And the answer is no, because this is the person I have given my life to. Like, that's the deal with marriage. I promise to be true to you in sickness and health, in good times and bad. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. It's not, I promise to be true to you and a whole bunch of other people in good times and bad, in sickness and health. I will love you and 10 other women all the days till death will be part. Like, that's not how it works. So in marriage, that analogy is, I make a decision, Janelle makes a decision, we are all given to the other, fully and completely. And in fact, if the heart of either one of the spouses isn't for that, the marriage will break down. It's not going to last. It's going to be very, very difficult. There is no room for another person in our marriage. That's not how it is. It's a covenant relationship. And Jesus is in the same way saying, there's no room in your heart for a greater love than me. Jesus wants to be our first love. And the marriage analogy, like, we become one flesh in heaven. That is the fulfillment of that complete union with Jesus Christ. And so St. Alphonsus is saying, you got to detach. St. Teresa of Avila is saying, you got to detach, because God wants to be our first love. And this is what we do during Lent. We get rid of we try and get hold of those passions and those things that we cling to. And so maybe in this last week here of Holy Week and of Lent, we increase our Lenten observances to really uproot those attachments of our heart that are other than Jesus. St. Francis de Sales says, if there was a single fiber in my heart that wasn't for Christ, I would tear it out. This is how the saints live. Some people think this is extreme. No, this is what we're made for. This is what God wants of us. And this brings happiness. I'm not going to get into the quote, but St. Alphonsus gets into this. This makes a person happy. This leads to a happy life. Mm-hmm. So, friends, detachment, important.
And I think sometimes people can get confused, though. It's like, if I can only love God, my attention should only be on God. But then they think, like, how can I love other people if I'm supposed to only love God? But I think we need to remember that we can only love other people because love comes from God. Because I know our kids will often ask us, like, Mom, is it okay if I love Jesus more than I love you? And I say, yes, of course. You need to love him more than you love me. And it's only because you love him that you can love me.
And take this into the marriage. In order for me to love you properly, I need to have Jesus as my first love.
Right.
Because my love for you without God is not love. It's distorted. It's selfish. It's self-centered. Like, I have nothing to offer you in our relationship unless it comes from Christ.
Right. So one thing that I just wanted to revisit that we saw at the beginning of Lent was what St. Alphonse taught us about when it comes to fasting, fasting according to manner, quantity, and quality. So I'll start with quality. So when it comes to your food, and you think about the types of food that you're eating, does it always have to be a certain temperature? Do you like your meals really hot? What if it's not hot? Are you going to be complaining about it? Or is it not flavorful enough? Do you need to add more salt? Maybe we should just go without the salt. Or maybe you don't like eating leftovers. Maybe you like your food fresh. So that would be the quality. The quantity. So how much food are we eating? When we eat, it should be serving the body in the sense that, like, is it nourishing our body so that we can go about doing God's duties? And then the last one is the manner. So this one I actually had to look up because I couldn't remember quite what he meant by manner. But it basically means, like, if you have time set aside for eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, supper, it means stick to those times and don't deviate from those times. If maybe you have a 10 o'clock little snack, stick to that as opposed to, you know, grazing or indulging just because you don't have self-control. Like, manner is basically eating at the appropriate times and in the way that you eat.
That's right. So when you sit down at a meal after you have been fasting for a while, you're going to be hungry. Don't devour that meal as though it's the first meal you've seen in 40 days. You approach the meal in a modest manner that doesn't draw attention to yourself, that doesn't say, oh, this guy hasn't eaten in a long time. Mm-hmm. So you slow down with your eating. You don't rush through your eating. You take it. So that's, you know, part of manner as well, how we are actually consuming the food before us.
Yeah. And that this is actually something that's really helpful for me because I feel like, you know, when I do a little bit of fasting, I like get really hungry and then I just like want to eat so much as soon as it's like opportunity for me to eat. Okay, next thing. Above all, to attain to perfect love, we must deny ourselves, embracing that which is distasteful to self-love and rejecting that which self-love demands. A certain thing is pleasant to us. For that very reason, we must reject it. Okay, so I find this really interesting because there's a lot of things that are pleasant to us. You know, maybe certain music is pleasant to us. Maybe certain smells are pleasant to us. Maybe a certain flower is pleasant to us. And St. Alphonse will talk about, like, those are great opportunities to offer little sacrifices. Like, maybe we love the cologne that we put on or the perfume that we put on or the essential oils that we diffuse in our house. Or maybe it's okay. It would be good to just abstain from that. And I think that we can grow in virtue through that just because we love something. And it, not that it's evil or that it's bad, but we can just deny ourselves.
Yeah, so why do I have to give up something that's so delightful and nice? Well, the reason is we give up something that is good for a higher good. Mm-hmm. So we realize this is good. And I'm making a choice to give up this beautiful good for a higher good. And it's not because it's evil. Now, you don't have to do that. You're not sinning if you don't keep on putting on cologne.
Yeah.
But St. Alphonse is pointing us and saying these can be great opportunities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they're good at also in moderation. Mm-hmm.
Right, because God has allowed beautiful things in the world for us to enjoy as well.
Yeah.
So, for example, I remember reading the last time we went through this, like, even if you love looking at a sunset or you love looking at a beautiful flower that's blooming, to just have custody of the eyes and just, you know, out of love for God, just saying, you know, Lord, I love looking at this so much, but I'm going to choose to not look at it as a little sacrifice and a little self-denial. It doesn't mean that looking at the sunset or looking at the flower is sinful, but it's just an opportunity to practice self-control.
I have to say, I've never denied myself a sunset, and I'm not sure if I will, but I mean, one could do that.
Yeah, one could do that.
Because anyways.
Okay. So during Holy Week, it's a great opportunity to really reflect more on the Passion of Jesus. And St. Alphonsus does a really beautiful job. At the end of all of his sermons, he talks about Jesus' passion. O ye sacred hands, that by a mere touch have so often healed the sick, wherefore are they now nailing you upon the cross? O holy feet, that have encountered so much fatigue in your search after us lost sheep, wherefore do they now transfix you with so much pain? When a nerve is wounded in the human body, so great is the suffering that it occasions convulsions and fits of fainting. What then must not the suffering of Jesus have been in having nails driven through his hands and feet, parts which are most full of nerves and muscles? Anyhow, it just reminded me of something that happened recently to me. I had some dental work done and one of my nerves was injured and how it impacted, you know, my tongue and how that was such a minor thing, but yet it really affected me for like, and I can still tell, and it's been a few months already, but how much, like, I can't even imagine to the degree that Christ suffered by having nails put right through his hands, his feet, even the crown of thorns. I remember we talked about how one of the saints said that the crown of thorns went right into his brain. And even if you think about the scourging, like all of that, like there's just so much suffering that Christ went through. It would be very difficult to even relate for us, like as humans, to relate what Christ went through, because I feel like he went through so much more to a degree that's incomprehensible to us. Mm-hmm. Like our suffering is so little compared to his.
It is, yes.
Yeah, so anyhow.
And this is a time where we remember that. And so we thank you for remembering all these things with us. We thank you for journeying with us. It's a real joy to serve you this way. So thank you. Special thank you as well for all our monthly supporters. You allow us to come to this way. We couldn't do this without you. So really thank you so much. And also thank you for those who pray for us and share with us below what's set up to you in life. God bless, friends.
And please pray the rosary. All right. I'm going to have to go shopping with the kids here right away. Pascal is sleeping.